Now, may I ask you to open your Bibles way back in the Old Testament, the book of Daniel. That's a long time since you read there, but most of you should be able to find it with the greatest of ease. The book of Daniel, chapter 5. Reading at verse 1. Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before 1,000. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. And the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loose, and his knees smote one against another. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, "Whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Verse 13. Then was Daniel brought in before the king, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, "Art thou that Daniel which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jury? I have even heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now, the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me, that they should read the writing, make known unto me the interpretation thereof." But they could not show the interpretation of the king. "And I have heard of thee that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation hereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet, and have a chain of gold about thy neck, and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Then Daniel answered and said unto the king, "Let thy gifts be to thyself. Give thy rewards to another, yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known to him the interpretation. O thou king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, languages, trembled and feared before him. When whom he would, he slew, and whom he would, he kept alive. And whom he would, he set up, and whom he would, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. He was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, And his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lord, thy wives, thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold and brass, iron, wood and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written. Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck, made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. And Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of the scriptures. I like to label this chapter, The Fall of a Great Empire and the End of a Wasted Life. The fall of a mighty or great empire and the end of a wasted life. Most of us here this morning, if not all, most of us are old enough to look back over a number of years now, and we've seen mighty powers brought down to nothing. How many men in the 20th century have risen to power and have ruled over certain nations. They've created great trouble in the world, and they thought they had everything under their feet. But in a few days, as it were, they're just cut off, gone. We think of what happened in Russia. I remember receiving a book at school as a prize. I don't know where it ever got to. I don't have it now. Nobody kicked it and sent it back. I know that. But it was entitled Russia Under Three Tsars. History of Russia under the last three rulers there, the Tsars, before the Bolshevik Revolution took place. And the people didn't have it easy under their rule. Where are they? They went down. And those that took over their place, they thought they were going to rule the world. Well, you and I have lived to see what has happened to them. We think of Kaiser William, what he was going to make of the German nation way back in 1914. He went down. We think of Adolf Hitler. He also was going to make Germany the great nation, second to none. See the end that he came to. Then you had Mussolini. See how he finished. His body lay on the street for about 3 days. I remember reading about a woman who came along with a little gun and she put 3 bullets into him even when he was dead. She said, "That's for one, each of the 3 sons that I lost fighting in your battles." And we could go on. Nations come up and nations go down. When I was a boy in Britain, and a lot of you here came from the same place, and they used to sing, "Britain never shall be slaves. Rule Britannia. Britannia rules the waves." Where is the great British Empire today? It's gone. Since 1946, one colony after another has gone. There was a time when they said that the sun never set on the British Empire. Can't say that today. Its colonies have gone. Britain's down now. It's not a first-rate nation now. And I'm reminding you people here that the great United States went over the top a good few years ago. And we've been on the slide ever since. And we've got to face it. See, nations rise and nations fall, especially when they forget that there's a God in heaven to be honored. As long as a nation will honor God, God's blessing will be upon them. But when a nation turns away from God, turns away from the Word of God, when that nation forgets the warnings of the past, you can rest assured that nation will sink and go down. What is true concerning empires and nations is also true concerning individuals. Men may go on all right, but there comes a time when if they turn away from the warnings of God and they turn away from the teachings they received when they were children, you can expect God's hand to come down upon them. The way of transgressors is hard. Many have proved that by bitter experience. But here we're faced here in Daniel chapter 5 with the fall of a great empire, the Babylonish Empire. And in chapter 5 we find that Babylon goes down. Finished. Now, it's a very interesting thing. You ask yourself, what about Babylon? What's its message for us? Well, Babylon, you know, was a symbol of Gentile glory. For instance, if we went back to chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar had that great dream of destiny. And when Daniel was brought in, and Daniel gave him the meaning. He said, thou art that head of gold. That was very pleasing, you know, to Nebuchadnezzar. But when Daniel began to give the meaning of the whole image, he deteriorated from gold down to silver. The 2 arms and the breasts of silver. And then it would go down to brass, the thighs. And then it would go down to iron in the legs. And go down to a mixture of iron and clay in the feet. But Nebuchadnezzar didn't take that warning. He said, I am that head of gold. And if you go through the history, you remember what he did. Oh, he put up an image all of gold. And had a great band there to play. And all the people were to come whenever the band struck up. They were all to bow down to that great image which was representing Nebuchadnezzar himself and his empire. But God just put his finger on him. And he lost his reason. Until he learned there was a God in heaven to be reckoned with. But here now you come to Nebuchadnezzar's grandson, really. Although he's only called his son because the one in between wasn't fit to rule. And here's Belshazzar. He's now ruling. Why couldn't he take the warnings that God gave to his grandfather? Here he is, he makes a great feast. Gentile glory was about to come to an end. The Babylonian Empire was going to be overthrown that night. Yet they're feasting. Why didn't they take the warning? The enemy troops had been all round that city, gathered there for a long time, in siege. But here they are inside the city with its massive walls, with all its army, fortifications. They were feeling so snug and safe in the great city of Babylon. They weren't worried about those soldiers outside. Why, they can't even get in here. They can't knock these walls over. They can't climb over them. We're quite safe. Can't happen to us. Isn't that exactly what some people think today? It just can't happen to us. Yes, it can. When God's hand begins to move. Not only, of course, is it the symbol of Gentile glory, it's the symbol of moral corruption. After the death of Nebuchadnezzar, history tells us the Babylonian crowd, they just went deeper and deeper into immorality and into idolatry. No God for them. They would please themselves what they would do. They would live in debauchery. Why, they were rich. They had all they needed, so far as they thought. And so this man is going to make a great feast. A feast that will be marked by immorality. And idolatry. Right at the very start, you know, the very foundation of Babylon. Way back in the book of Genesis, not long after the flood. Men went out and they said, let's build a city, let's make a great city. And let's build a great tower. And let's make a name for ourselves. And they were looking up at their tower and they thought it was a massive thing. I don't know what you think when you look at some of those things. Remember the first time we went up to Washington, D.C. My wife looked up at the Washington Memorial and says, no, I'm not going up there. Yeah. And there were other folks that wouldn't go up the Empire State Building. You had to be frightened to go up the height. Men look up and they say, oh, what a tremendous skyscraper, what a height. I wonder what God thinks when he looks down from heaven. He says, what is that little thing down there? It all depends on how you view things. If you view things from the earthly point of view, when man sees them, why they look massive and big. But when you look at them from God's point of view, why he just blow on it. It comes to nothing. He just sends a little hurricane along. And a strong wind. The older they go. It's the same with mighty empires. They've got a great army. And they think that no one can overthrow us. We're the greatest. We're the greatest navy. We're the greatest army. The greatest air force. Yes. That's what the Babylonians thought. But I also remember that Tower of Babel was an idolatrous thing. It was something in which they were going to worship the stars and the moon rather than worship the living God. And that's what people do. They forget God. So it made it also a place of religious corruption. Not only was it a place of idolatry, but also a place of immorality. And that's how they were living. Little did they know that very night God's finger was coming upon them. That night, Belshazzar's feast. 1,000 of his lords, all his wives and concubines were going to have a great night of revelry. And he got so drunk, he says, bring those golden vessels that were brought from Jerusalem. Now you and I know today that these golden and silver vessels that were brought out from Jerusalem were vessels that had been made and consecrated for the service of God in the holy temple at Jerusalem. But when it fell, Nebuchadnezzar took all those treasures away down to Babylon. And here's now one of his descendants, his grandson, Belshazzar. He says, we'll use them. Bring them in here to this temple. Bring them in. We'll drink to our gods. Isn't that exactly what people do when they turn away from God? Things that were supposed to be for God's glory are being used now for them to sin against God. He brought them in. Just at that time, the army outside who had been circling around them and had them enclosed for so long, but they're sitting inside and they've got all the supplies they need. They could rest all there. The army will never get at us. According to the historians, that army was busy. They had made a new channel for the river Euphrates. And the time had come that very night when that river was turned into its new channel. And the river, which normally came in and went right through the city, left a dry bed for the army to come in. While here the king is drunk with all his wives and concubines and lords, all the high ups of the city. Well, the army came right in. That was the night when that empire came to an end. But let's turn our attention for a moment to the man himself. Here he was with a sinful feast. No time for the living God. And Daniel said, now you were well warned. You know what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. Why didn't you take the warning? Daniel was a man who was fearless. He didn't hide his message. Wouldn't it be awful if I came up here and somebody had a notice printed on here and said, dear preacher, do not speak to this congregation about sin because they don't like it. Don't speak to them about judgment because they'll not come back if you warn them about judgment. And don't speak about righteousness, please. You see, well, what's this? What am I to speak on? For the Holy Spirit was given in order to convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Daniel stood fearless before this man, and he was an old man at this time. Wasn't a young fellow now. Daniel's an old man. He was fearless. He told the king straight, you have refused to take the warning. And the time has come for God to deal with you. Here's what that writing is. It's the writing of God on the wall. God has come into your life. And here's a man, and you looked at his countenance. You know, you can often tell by looking at a person's face what something has happened. I suppose you can still remember when you went to school. I went to school, I've told you already, I went to school for one reason only. I had to go. That's all, I had to go out. And every teacher in our school had a piece of leather about this long, about 2 inches broad, at least quarter of an inch, perhaps half an inch thick, cut up the middle, called the taws. And even if you were late in getting in, there's no use saying I was starved. No. stand on the floor. And you just got the whip of that, these thoughts for being late. There was discipline there. The teacher knew how to inflict it too. He's a man now, and God is intervening with him. And God is going to bring judgment to bear on that man. Here's the hand of God. And says, Daniel, you refuse to take the warning, so you're going to take the discipline now. You should have taken the warning. Be in time. He was a man, you looked at his face. And when you were late and going into school or you did something that was wrong or you had a mistake, you looked at the teacher's face that morning when she came in or he came in, and you could almost tell by looking at their face what the day was going to be like. Tell whether they're in a good mood or a bad mood. Look at this man Belshazzar. His face has changed. Of course he's drunk, that's true. But over and above that, he's wise enough to know that there's a superpower interfering with him when that hand came forth upon the wall. And it was seen in his face, a changed countenance. But more than that, he starts to shake. He's taking a stroke. His conscience is beginning to work. And some folks think they don't have a conscience, and they act as if they don't have one. But suddenly God puts his finger right on it. The conscience is still God's territory, you know, in the soul. And God can touch the conscience when he likes. He's smitten in his conscience. It's affecting his constitution. His knees are knocking together. He's taking a stroke, sure enough. And he begins to cry out, bring somebody to tell me what that means. Bring in all the wise men and the soothsayers. He's asking for the wrong men. They didn't know any better than he did. But in comes Daniel. Daniel says, yes, you haven't taken the warning, but now I'll tell you the meaning. First of all, your days of your life are numbered. The Bible says, help us to number our days. The funny thing, we don't normally number our days, we number our years. And sometimes we don't like to admit what that number is. You ever try to number your days? Help us to number our days. Says Daniel, that message on the wall for you is, your days are numbered. You've just got time now and finish. This is your last day. Number your days. More than that, Belshazzar, your life has been weighed in God's balances. God has put your life into the balance. You've found wanting. Something wrong. You haven't come up to the number. You haven't come up to the weight. More than that, the thread of your life will be broken. In plain words, Belshazzar, you've come to the end of it. It's finished. And the text finishes at the end and says, that night was Belshazzar, king of the Chaldeans, slain. The night when he least expected it. The night when he thought he was riding, as it were, on the wings of popularity. He thought he had all the power beneath him to do what he liked. He forgot God. And God says, right, well, shut up. It's tonight. Tonight. It was his last day. I often wonder what people would think if you could get them just convinced that this day might be their last day. Would it make any difference? I was just telling my wife the other day, I was discussing some things and telling her about certain people that I knew. The night that I trusted the Savior, there were 6 young fellows there. One of them had already got saved 3 days before that, and I trusted the Lord that night. One fellow said, "Oh," he said, "the splendid time." He says, "We're young. So I'll tell you," he says, "it's the right thing to do, but I'm going to wait till I'm a man. When I'm up and been a man," he says, "I'll be a Christian then." Jimmy never lived to be an elderly man. He died when he was barely 20 years of age in an accident on a motorbike. Oh, his mother didn't like him on that bike. She pled with him to sell it, get rid of it. We saw him on the Monday night on the bike. Tuesday night he was dead. He was going out on the Tuesday night, and his mother said to him, "Oh, Jimmy, will you know, sell that bike, son. Sell that bike. I'm always worried when you go out." He said, "Mother, this is my last night. I'm going out for a spin tonight, and my license runs out on Thursday night, and I'm not going to renew it. I'm going to sell the bike." Off he went for his last spin on the Tuesday night, 2 miles from his own home, crashed into a wagon. Taken to hospital. 11:45 on a Thursday night, just as his license was running out, called into eternity. Why do people not take the warning? "This night, thy soul shall be required of thee," said the message to the rich father. God says, "This night." He said, "Many years." That young fellow says, "Oh, many years. I'll trust the Lord." He never saw the many years. Poet once wrote these words with which we finish. Thinking of this message of Belshazzar and what happened, the writer wrote these words. At the feast of Belshazzar and 1,000 of his lords, while they drank from golden vessels as the book of truth records, in the night as they revelled in the royal palace hall, they were seized with consternation. 'Twas the hand upon the wall. See that brave captive Daniel, as he stood before the throng and rebuked the haughty monarch for his mighty deeds of wrong, as he read out the writing. 'Twas the doom of one and all, for the kingdom now was finished," said the hand upon the wall. See the faith, zeal, and courage that would dare to do the right, which the Spirit gave to Daniel, this the secret of his might. In his home in Judea, or a captive in the hall, he understood the writing of his God upon the wall. So our deeds are recorded. There's a hand that's writing now. Sinner, give your heart to Jesus, to his royal mandate bow. For the day is fast approaching. It must come to one and all, when the sinner's condemnation will be written on the wall. Will your record be found wanting? Or shall it be found trusting? While the hand of God is writing on. 3 times over in the Word of God, I read of God writing. He wrote on tables of stone, and that set forth God's standard of righteousness, commonly called the Ten Commandments. God's standard of righteousness. When the Lord Jesus Christ was here on earth, They dragged a woman into him one day. They said, "We found this woman caught in the very act of adultery. Moses and the law said she should be stoned. What do you say?" The Lord never answered them. He stooped down and began to write. Have you ever asked yourself, what did he write? He wrote on the ground. Then he looked up at them. He said, "All right, let the one who is without sin cast the first stone." The idea was this: let the one who is without that same sin be the chief witness against her. The chief witness threw the first stone. Where was he? Where was the chief witness? I suggest to you, he was writing their sins on the earth. Here in the book of Daniel, it was a message of judgment. God writes of righteousness, of sin, and of judgment. God's writing. Someday we'll read. May I ask each one here this morning, if the hand was writing for you today, what would it write? Found wanting or found trusting? Let us pray. Father, we thank you for an hour spent here this morning. Thank you for hymns that were sung and the word that was read. We pray now thy blessing to rest upon each one here. Grant that each one as we go out the door today will be absolutely sure that if the call was to come tonight, we'll be ready to answer the call. Oh God, hear us now for the Lord Jesus' sake.